Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Team all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Tuesday, so we had Dave Bartu on. He's College Football Matrix. He is a resource for any individual organization, administrative wing, whatever it is, of an athletic department, football program in particular. Works with head coaches, ADs, football ops folks, boosters, seriously, Board of Regents. He got a call from someone. He'll give you the text line. He got a call from someone, an SEC board of that wanted to streamline, be more effective with fundraising, I believe it was. Hey, can you help with that? He said, absolutely, I can help with that. So that's just what he does. Just tremendous. I just love having him on. Appreciate that. And it will be more of the same in hour two. And again, with Dave Bartu on every single Tuesday, you know you can count on that. Coming up in about 10 minutes today, John Talty on, senior sports editor, SEC Insider, AL.com, does a tremendous job, that whole organization there. And he's got a new book out. Is that out today? It is out today. That's right. Today's Truest Reporter, John Talty, in stores today. The Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban. How Alabama's coach became the greatest ever. I can't dispute it. I did. Let's see. What year would this have been? In fact, I can tell you exactly when it was. November 5th, 2011, LSU and Alabama. I mentioned this earlier in the program today. Alabama, they lost that night. They shouldn't have had a chance to even play. And they shouldn't have in 2011. Never been a fan of rematches. Florida State, you took care of your business and shouldn't have to play Florida again. But I was talking to – you give me – you pay me. I'll talk. Give me an envelope. I'm there. And an Alabama booster group, local to my area, the week ahead of that Alabama-LSU game in 2011, they met like, I don't know, every Tuesday at 11 or something. Chuck, do you want to come talk to us week before the LSU game? Absolutely. Dan, check the record, please. How many the week before LSU-Bama in 2011, okay? How many national championships did Nick Saban have at that point? Was it a total of three, I think? How many at Bama? Because
he only had one.
He had one at Bama at that point?
2009.
And so 2011, when they beat him in January of 12, that was his second?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is tremendous. Because he had one at LSU.
Right, 03.
And then he had one at Bama. Okay. So I'm talking to this group, and one of them asked me, in the moment of this, if Nick Saban passes Bear for number of national championships, I cut the guy off. I was like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. But go ahead with your question. It like, you know those, when we see reenacted scenes of like vaudeville from the 30s and people are throwing fruit at the stage? That didn't happen, but it was a lunch meeting and it was pretty dang close. You talk about losing a room? It's the huge lesson. I was like, okay, well, that's not going to happen, but go ahead. It happened. It happened. And I didn't think that there was any way that that was going to happen. And so when you have a book coming out, and actually it is today, How Alabama's Coach Became the Greatest Ever, this was me, I guess, 11 years ago. Now, that's a ridiculous thought, but go ahead with the rest of your statement. And it's 11 years later, and Bear is in the ever after looking down going, well, I'll be dang, he did it. And it is way, that's four ways, tougher to win a national championship today. Way tougher than it was for Bear Bryant. It was not easy for Bear Bryant. I'm saying compared to winning a freaking national championship coming out of the SEC especially, compared to that in the 60s and 70s, folks, it's a heck of a lot more difficult now. Do you know why? There's a chance you do. You know some of them. Unlimited scholarships. It's cliched. I think it's cliched. But it may not be. I'll talk about this. I was talking with Roddy Jones, our good friend from the ACC Network, and this was actually during football season. I was mentioning something about, you know, the old bowl system. And I'd referred to the Gator Bowl having a top 10 matchup, and it was like number 9 versus number 7. Oklahoma State and South Carolina played, and they were like top 10 teams. Now, how did that happen? I was like, well, there are only like 14 bowls. Oh. And so maybe it's not known. Unlimited scholarships. There is a, I think, known story that is very cliched. I don't know. David's 28. Look at me and nod. Do you know this or not? Have you heard this? Bear Bryant, and this is true. There is a kid, even though in 1973, for instance, Mississippi State, no real threat to Alabama, and Alabama's national championship program at that point. Before that, Bear Bryant would be told, hey, Mississippi State is recruiting this quarterback. They think he can be a starter for them. Bear Bryant would say, we'll offer him a scholarship then, bring him here. Well, he'll never play for us. I don't care. He would take a kid that was going to be the starter at Mississippi State, and he would be like the sixth quarterback at Alabama. He may be the third or fourth in the freshman class. And he would bring him over and then move him to the defensive back. And the kid may never play. He would go take an opponent's potential starter and just bury him on the team. David, have you ever heard Bear Bryant had a reputation for doing that? Okay, he has heard that. David comes from a program that supported Woody Hayes. So, I mean, it was the same sort of thing. Bury you on the depth chart. Well, you can't really do that anymore. Even Houston Nutt, when he would sign, like, I don't know, 35 kids or something at Ole Miss. And you can't do it. You had a 6-game SEC schedule. And nobody really spent money. And so if you spent a little bit of money, then, all right, well, big advantage. And there were only a couple of national programs. Do you know why? Well, because there were literally, sometimes you had one game on it. So, you know, on TV on a Saturday, you know all of this stuff. And so Alabama, compared to now, it was easier to win a national championship. And Nick Saban's gone past him. Way more difficult now. Because almost any program can upset you in a particular recruiting battle. Almost any program. I've told you, there was a five-star wide receiver at Ocean Springs, Mississippi about a decade ago, and he signed with Southern Miss. Why? That's where he wanted to go. Do you know what would not have happened in 1972? Five-star kid ain't signing with Southern Miss. If he had options, and even if programs weren't taking black kids, they would go to Michigan State. They'd go play Penn State. So that had already started to change. So it's way more difficult now. And what I spoke of as if it were already established fact, carved in stone. He won't be able to do that, but go ahead, sir. He did it. And boy, he took whatever it was that he had crafted at Michigan State. Because you go back and look at some of he was the head coach there maybe 3 seasons. Look at what he crafted there. And when he got to LSU, folks, it was pretty dang similar, but just outsized. He had a 2 running back combination in East Lansing. Slam him in the line of scrimmage, wear people down. Now, it was a different style of play at that point, I understand. But when he got into LSU, folks, he did it with 4 kids. Allie Broussard, who I think was the best of the bunch, and then it was a knee, and then something else, and then his career was over. Allie Broussard was an unbelievable player. Chiron Carey, Joseph Addai, and Justin Vincent. He had four NFL-caliber running backs, and, of course, all varying levels of success at the next level if they got there. But he had four at LSU. Why? Well, because at LSU you can get even better players. Into the NFL. He'd already been in the NFL for eight seasons, by the way. I think it was eight seasons before he went to the Dolphins. So he already cut his teeth. He already knew what it was. Well, I've been a head coach in the NFL now. That's another thing to tell kids. And so he goes to Alabama and took over what Mike Shula left. And by, I guess if that was 07, was his first 07? By almost the end of his fourth season. Fans are fans. You're supposed to be fanatical about your program. And Lord knows Alabama fans can check that box. Whoever asked me the question that day, the Tide Pride Club or whoever I was speaking to, whoever asked that question that day, I'm sure he was a very enthusiastic Alabama fan and sees the world through crimson glasses. He was right. He was right. That is the amazing thing that Nick Saban has been able to do. And it was already so much of it already in place and paying dividends. Not even at the end of four full seasons. So, yeah, that's how Alabama. You want to name a book? Alabama's coach became the greatest ever. I got no issue with that. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. More of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chest out. I always say that. Declare. Chuck Oliver's show on a Tuesday continues. I want to welcome on someone who has a new book. It is in stores today, which means it's also available online, all your digital stores as well. New book is called Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban, How Alabama's, and this is the best out part, How Alabama's Coach Became the Greatest Ever. I want to welcome on from AL.com. It is John Talty. Brother, how you doing today?
Great. Appreciate you having me on again. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah, when you go for just a tremendous chest-out declaration like that, there's supposed to be some kind of, you overspoke just a little bit. I read that. I do college football all day, every day. I read that title. I was like, yeah, looks good to me. How did that become just such a matter of fact, not even a provocative statement, like in an impossible industry? He's looked at by almost everybody, historical, modern day, whatever, is like, yep, he's the one.
I mean, what's absolutely amazing to me about it is that you have probably the two main contenders at this stage, in my opinion, are Bear Bryant and Nick Saban, both from the same school, which is just absolutely incredible. And so for so long, I think we thought, Bear Bryant is the greatest of all time. No matter what Saban does, he's not going to be able to top that at Alabama, right? There's no way. And then here he comes over 15-plus years, wins six national championships, and just absolutely commands a stranglehold over the sport of college football. And so it's been unbelievable what he's been able to accomplish. He's already, they're the predicted team to win it all again this year. Maybe he'll add another national championship to the mix. But just the way that he has dominated the sport over the last 15 years at Alabama, to me, has made it clear that he is the greatest right now. and still has plenty of opportunity to add to that legacy, whether it's this year or maybe the next.
Okay, plenty of opportunities, as in more so than this season. And there, it's easy to come up when you're talking about a 70-year-old man. I think he's 70. Easy to come up with scenarios where either win or lose in January. All right, I call it a career and I walk off. I'm going to start at the very end. Do you have any opinion, any inkling about when or what will trigger it, or when does this ride end? Because the man's been working for 50 years.
Yeah, and it's what's within that is the fact that it's, this is what he knows to do. You know, it's the way he grew up was to work your butt off every single day. It's what he knows, and it's what he wants to do every single day. And so I think ultimately, you know, what makes him leave, right? I think for me, it comes down to, and I'm not going to say a specific year because only he can answer that question, but I think he understands what it takes from a day-in, day-out perspective to try to be the very best. He's been doing it for a long time. He knows himself very well. He knows what he needs to do to recruit at the highest level, to coach the players at the highest level, all those different things. I think when he wakes up one morning and is not excited to go to practice, or if he wakes up one morning and says, you know what, like, I really don't want to get on that plane and go to California and have to recruit that five-star recruit. I would just prefer not to do that today. That's when I think he'll say, you know what, like, now's the time to walk away. Because I think it's very important to him to not let the operation fall under disrepair while he's leading it. I don't see him ever, you know, leading a 7-5 Alabama season. I think if he feels like it's starting to slip and he can't deliver that daily intensity and energy he needs, I think that'll be when he decides, all right, it's time for somebody else to take over here.
There have been some coaches that just kind of, you know, mysteriously, they're, oh, yeah, he left on his own. I'm like, what? I think it was it Nussmeier that was the OC and then said, oh, yeah, I left to go to Michigan all on my own. I'm like, yeah, I don't think that happened. But then there are coaches that I'm pretty dang sure that they're pretty public about, yeah, he's not easy to work for. I'm out of here. Tell me what you think the truth is. Tell me what you think the reality is for somebody on his staff.
I think it's both. You know, I think Nussmeier absolutely got nudged out, and I write about that in the book, that, you know, he was pushed out to bring in Lane Kiffin because Saban wanted to make changes to their offensive approach and didn't believe Nussmeier was going to be able to do that. I do think he's very respectful in that way, and that he tries to help guys get jobs so it doesn't straight up look like he pushed them out or fired them. There's only been a couple guys over the years, and there's a few that I can think of where they basically just like make it obvious, like, yeah, we fired that guy. But he tries not to do that just from a public standpoint. But I think there's, you know, it's a very tough environment to work in. You know, they are working every single day as if it's the most important day. And that can be a grind. That could be challenging to live your life that way. And I think guys respect his commitment to the game. They respect what he is capable of doing for their career. But I think some of them say, you know what, after 3 years of this, I won a national championship. Now I've got a chance to be a head coach somewhere else. Like, now's the right time for me to go. Because you have to really be motivated. You have to really enjoy the work every single day to flourish in that environment. Because there's so many guys I've talked to over the years that will truly tell you that whether it's, you know, November and they're about to play the Iron Bowl, or it's the middle of May and nothing's going on, like, he is bringing the same level of intensity. He is treating every single day if it's the national championship game, and that's the level of work that needs to be done. And you can just imagine that's not always the most fun environment to be around. But that's, you know, that's what it takes sometimes, and that's, I think, a big reason why they've been as successful as they've been.
I've told a story about being there a bunch of times, but this in particular was maybe the, I don't know, 08, 09 season at some point. And that he was working with the defensive backs and involved and on the field and, you know, whatever else. What is his level of involvement now? I mean, is he Bear in the tower now for the entire practice? Is he Bobby Bowden comes riding over the top of the hill on the golf court when all, everything's already done? How involved is he right now as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, he's still very involved. You know, and that's something that I think also, you know, that's something that people want to emulate. You know, one of the things that Butch Jones told me for this book was that, you know, Saban is essentially the pace car of the Alabama organization, and everyone's trying to match that pace. And so during a practice, you know, he's hustling around. You know, he did have to have a hip replacement. You know, doesn't move quite as fast as he used to, you know, when he was probably 40, but he is still moving around. You'll see him throwing footballs, you know, to DBs and guys like that. He is hustling from station to station. I mean, he is still very hands-on in the areas that he has determined are the most important to the organization's success. And so I think two of the biggest ones, which I write about a lot in the book, recruiting obviously is the lifeblood of that entire organization, and he is still incredibly involved in that. But the second part is practice. It's the preparation. It's something that he really views as a core tenet to Alabama. And so he is still going to be heavily involved in all those processes as long as he can. So, no, he's not in the tower yet, and I don't think he ever will be, because I think he also just loves practice too much. That's, like, his favorite thing to do, because it's the idea of a guy trying to perfect his craft, and it's not based on a result. It's just based on the process.
Is there anything facilities-wise, stadium-wise, anything associated with the football program at Alabama that isn't already at the elite upgraded level, or there are plans, or literally, like, there's maybe somebody hammering something in place as we speak? Is there anything that's not accounted for already?
I think he's gotten everything he's wanted. I think the only thing I can think of, and it's not even a physical thing, but I think in the current environment we live in, Alabama last year was pretty cautious with their NIL approach. And I think, you know, we've all seen Nick Saban's thoughts about NIL, but that's the part of the operation where I feel like there's needed to be some work to get it ramped up to a level that can be competitive at that stage. But if you go to Alabama, you know, anything involved with Alabama football, it is the best of the best. And it's built that way purposely. You know, he wants to give the players as many opportunities and advantages as humanly possible. And so the stadium is incredible. The facilities are incredible. They have a waterfall. I mean, it's a little bit ostentatious, but he has pretty much everything he's ever wanted from a facility standpoint. And it's just one extra thing he can use when it comes to attracting the best of the best players in the country.
Yeah, I'm an Auburn grad, and I had a buddy of mine. We've got a bigger video board. I was like, hush up. Just like, that's all you got, you know? That's just like, hush. So I was like, if Bama wanted a bigger video board, they would have a bigger video board. John, appreciate you coming on today, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, appreciate it.
John Talty, SEC Insider, AL.com. And I'm talking to one of my brethren. And I'm honestly, I kind of kid sometimes, $14 million. It's big, and it's awesome, and it's a great, 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 great picture. And for a lot of folks, you get a much better view than you would see if you're just watching the field. But when I say hush up, it's not that it's not something we're talking about. Don't talk about it in regards to anything with Alabama right now, because that's an on-the-field thing. So I know you got what you got, but that's not really where you want to go. And I think that's true. If they wanted a bigger video board or bigger weight room or bigger waterfall or, I don't know, every kid gets the chocolate fountain in their locker, whatever it is, it's not an issue of not having the money or the want or anything else. It's the issue of deciding to do something other than that.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And we talk all the time about recruiting, and that is the lifeblood of any program. And the worst thing that ever happened to Virginia Tech and Frank Beamer is so many other programs made inroads into the, I believe it's the 757, is that right? The Virginia Beach, Newport News, Hampton area. Folks, I don't mean college, like Division I prospects. I mean like Pro Football Hall of Fame, like an inordinate amount of Pro Football Hall of Famers, College Football Hall of Famers come from there. And Virginia Tech for a couple of decades, like scoop, scoop, scoop. You got to keep yours home, and the Hokies did a great job. It did a better job with the Wahoos. If you didn't see this yesterday, Kirby and them got big recruit news. Went up to Maryland, got a top 100 running back recruit for 2 years from now, two classes, 2024, two classes from now. There's only so many top 100 recruits. Like when Stephon Diggs went to Maryland, I was like, good for you. His brother went to Alabama. But there's only so many of those, and Kirby got one of the running backs. And you just got to – it ain't as easy. Go to Florida, shake the tree, four-star running backs fall out of it. Got to keep those kids home. Want to welcome on right now a guy who knows all about Big Ten country, does a great job for one of my favorite publications, even though I don't think it's a publication anymore. Want to welcome on right now from Sporting News. It is Bill Bender. Bill, welcome, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Chuck.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this. I got my final printed copy of Sporting News in the mail about a decade ago, and they're like, yeah, we're all digital now, so here's your last copy. But college football coverage of Sporting News is just tremendous. Talk about just what I was mentioning real quick before we get into the media rights deal. Programs like Maryland, I don't know, Rutgers, Penn State. There's only so many of those elite players in that region of the country, and Philadelphia, D.C., Kirby in particular, Alabama, they found the way up there, man.
Well, there's a Catholic league in that D.C. metro area. It's very good, and it's where guys like Caleb Williams come from, and Alabama plucks out of there. LSU's had guys come out of there. Georgia's had guys come out of there, and that part of the country in that Atlantic, it doesn't get the pub that, you know, deservedly so, because I'm not sure there's as much four- and five-star talent as there is in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, or out west, or even in my part of the country here. But it's still pretty good. And if you go up there and get a couple guys, you're going to be all right.
Absolutely true. Go get DeAndre Swift. May you bring him down and turn him into an NFL draft pick. All right, let's talk conference media rights. The final stages, I guess, is where the Big Ten is. And they are quilting together. They've had high noon. We're going to put it on display. And that's been a pretty good ball game. It's going to be noon. They're taking over the 3:30 spot maybe with CPS. And then they're going to go prime time with something big. Talk about how this schedule may look on a typical Big Ten football Saturday.
Well, I mean, be comparable to the NFL. I know the Big Ten released a statement and said they're still working on these things. But if it does pan out that way, it's going to be ESPN versus these networks. It's going to be the SEC versus the Big Ten for the big viewership games. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the AFC and NFC coverage on Sunday, minus, you know, I don't think people get too wound up in the NFL about the AFC versus NFC pride angle, because it's 32 teams and we just care about one, our favorite team. But it's going to be pretty cool for the Big Ten. It's just another flex by Kevin Warren, who's, I wouldn't say he's elevated it to the level of the SEC, but it's a 1A, 1B type deal in terms of revenue power.
Flesh that out a little bit. And the stakes between being either 1C or being 2, because there could be a drop-off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, then the ACC and Big 12 and Pac-12 will face pressure to keep up. I mean, we can quibble over, you know, the SEC is the best college football conference right now. I know we all like to talk about a regional sport. It's being dominated by one region, the southeast part of the country. I mean, we might get another rematch between Georgia and Alabama this year in the championship game. It's not out of the realm of possibility. So, I mean, from that end, yeah, the SEC is doing its thing. The Big Ten countered by going coast to coast, and it's going to be pretty good. But like you said, it leaves pressure on the ACC to keep going, pressure on the Pac-12. What are you going to do now? Are you going to merge with the Big 12? Are you going to pluck from the Mountain West Conference? Big 12, what are you going to do now? It's going to be hard for those three conferences, but, well, the Big 12 and Pac-12 in particular to keep up.
Ohio State, this is just cursory for me. This is just an anecdote. But, my gosh, you talk all these stories so well-placed about, you know, season ticket buyers and you got to donate and keep your points and your priority and all that, and this home schedule stinks. Ohio State this year, there is realistic conversation that is the greatest home schedule in Ohio State history. Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan all there, plus Notre Dame. Just talk about that dynamic and what that's going to be like and what it could be this season if everybody stays healthy and they play a little bit of defense.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be really good. They're going to be really good on the offensive side of the ball. There shouldn't be much of a drop-off from a team that led the nation in points and yards last year. And they have a Heisman front runner, and they have receivers all over the place. And, you know, like you said, when Wisconsin, which could be a primetime game, is the third best game on the schedule, home schedule, they're going to be pretty good. Then everything we've heard on the defensive side of the ball, I know Jim Knowles is speaking with the media today. All the returns have been good, and we're going to get to see it in primetime against Notre Dame. A lot of people up here in Ohio are really excited about this game that's going to go off here in a couple weeks.
Let's go a little further down the food trough. Maryland, they're fun to watch. And they fatten up against non-conference play, and yeah, I mean they work it, whatever. And then you get to go to a bowl, and that's great. What kind of competition are they in the Big East right now? Even just in the Big East, in the Big Ten East right now.
Well, Maryland's got Talia Tagovailoa. They've got some good receivers. Rakeem Jarrett was at Big Ten Media Day. They had an offense that, you know, you were talking about Virginia Tech there a minute ago, and they beat them in the bowl game impressively. And threw the ball around. And, I mean, for speaking with Talia at Media Day, though, the thing he was talking about most was not that. He was talking about how he played against Iowa when he threw a bunch of interceptions, how he played against Northwestern a few years ago, very poor performance, and how the next step for that program is going out and beating one of the Big Four in the division. I mean, they're always at a disadvantage when it's Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State, but I think they could at least throw a scare into one of those teams.
That's got to be – I want the bar to be higher if I'm a Terrapins fan, but I'm just sitting there looking at this thinking, yeah, fifth, you can have a pretty good season without any, you know, thing flying off the rails and finish fifth in the division. Flip it over to the Big Ten West. I want to ask you about Nebraska and Casey Thompson, et cetera, but the bigger picture, who's the second-best quarterback in the conference? Might it be Casey Thompson?
Maybe. And if, especially if he takes the Mark Whipple's offense, which we're going to get to see in week zero here in less than 3 weeks, which, Chuck, that's unbelievable. I've got work to do to get to those 3 weeks. I think it's Aiden O'Connell, though. I think it's Purdue's quarterback. And if you look what he did in the back half of last year, he was putting up 400-yard games and 500-yard games. And I know their offense is built to do that, but if you go back and watch that very exciting bowl game they played against Tennessee, he commanded the field well. He didn't panic. He had some big games against Iowa and Michigan State, and even put up numbers against the Buckeyes in a losing effort. So I kind of like him as the second best. And I mean, you can't sleep on Cade McNamara too much. I mean, he did win the Big Ten championship. He's kind of like the Big Ten version of Stetson Bennett.
Yeah. Unproductive, but the fans keep looking around going, no, where's the real quarterback? Bill, I certainly appreciate some time, brother. Thank you for coming on, man.
Hey, no problem, Chuck. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Bill Bender from Sporting News. Again, sportingnews.com, great site there. And, again, he covers the Big Ten there. So you're just looking for the second-best quarterback because that can be the biggest difference. And there are a lot of guys that I trust. There are some upperclassmen. You can bounce around the conference, find their transfers as well. But he mentioned Talia Tagovailoa, for instance, in Maryland. A lot of points, a lot of numbers, et cetera. What do we say on this show? What do we know is true? Numbers, there is no position in any sport where you get less actual insight than from just looking at numbers than quarterback in football. They're indicators. But that's what they are. They're indicators. Can you fake your way to, you know, 43 touchdowns and 7 picks? Probably not. Can you, and I don't want to say fake your way, but can you fake your way to like 28 touchdowns and 7 picks? Yeah. Yeah, you really can. There are ways that coaches, you can coach around the limitations of a quarterback and give them extremely impressive numbers if you just look in a fishbowl and you're like, did the guy make plays? That's one thing, and I'll say this. Go look at Tim Couch, for instance, if you want to look at his numbers in the NFL. Tim Couch, when he was with Cleveland, pretty good numbers. Folks, he never made plays, ever. And so that was the big problem in the NFL. He had a successful enough career. I bet it was in the NFL, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years, whatever. Shoulder injury maybe that came back or wouldn't get right, but just didn't make plays, and that's what you have to do. And so Tagovailoa, system, bad defense, competition. I just said that if a pretty positive experience unfolds for the Terrapins this season, free of injuries, for whatever, normal stuff happens where you sort of achieve your goal. You know what achieve your goals. You know what a goal up Maryland isn't? Beat the Buckeyes. That's not really your goal. It's not. Not in football. What's the goal this year? Beat Michigan. No, it's not. If you finish 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth in your division, you can look around and go, okay, well, this positive happened, this positive happened, this positive, and look, we finished fifth in the division. All right, bowl game, here we come. That's where they are. Score a lot of points. It's entertaining. I don't think he's the second-best quarterback in the conference. It may be Casey Thompson. And he's got a new coach who is desperate to win and is likely to be stepping on the gas and relying on an upperclassman veteran quarterback who has played even more so. So when you look at just numbers, yeah, Casey Thompson's already put up pretty good numbers at Texas in a season. You look at the opportunity to really add on to that and make an impact, take Nebraska to, I don't know, 8 wins or 9 wins maybe in that division. Yeah, sure, you may do that. How does Nebraska get there? How does Scott Frost keep his job, not win 4 games and get fired? How does that happen? If you have the second-best quarterback in the conference, what does that mean? Well, if it's behind C.J. Stroud, it can save your coach's job.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
That text I sent you on, you know, congratulating you on preseason All-American. Did you got Trenton? You got that text, right? You know, and they all look at me like I'm like, good. You'll never get that text, all right? If you ever do, then let me know. No, I don't really care about it. We ranked last year, finished 15th.
Dabo, I've told you, folks, he's a legitimately good dude. I've said that of all the people I've met in this business, Mark Richt and Tommy Bowden are probably the two most genuinely just good people. Dabo's not far behind, but let me say that we always want to inject this next part. Dabo, he cold eye killer, man. If there is a reason he may want to beat you by 40 instead of just 28, well, he may beat you by 40. There's been some FSU stuff to that effect. Dabo, uber competitive. Really good guy, but he doesn't have use for the trivial. You know, Nick Saban's, we were talking about Nick Saban a lot today. Nick Saban's word has always been clutter. I go back 10 years. I remember him talking about clutter. We were at media days and he was just talking about in an organization, in a team, or whatever it is, clutter. Dabo was a lot like that as well. And preseason, in season, opinions from media, the collection of other coaches. It's like somebody gave Texas a national championship vote. Okay, I mentioned a month ago that if you're looking for that fourth team, Texas seems to be as hot as anyone to be that fourth team. Notre Dame, Clemson, et cetera. Well, somebody gave a first-place vote. I think that's silly. And Dabo was saying, well, the collective of it is silly. Look where you voted us last year and what happened. Look, specifically, I thought DJU was going to be the biggest stat stuffer because I love me some Prize Picks football. Prize Picks, love you. College football daily fantasy picks. And I thought DJU, man, I rode that train until it just, folks, there's a sleeper car on the crazy train, and I was on it last year. I stayed on that thing longer than anyone. I woke up, and it was Willoughby. I was like, what happened? Where'd everybody go? But I loved it. Dabo doesn't. I thought that's what we thought about DJU. It wasn't just me. Who gave him? Was it Bojangles and Diet Dr. Pepper gave DJU deals? Guess what they didn't do preseason? Give deals to ACC quarterbacks that they thought would finish dead last in passer ranking in the conference. Hey, who do we think, statistically speaking, is the worst quarterback in the conference? All right, let's market through him. They didn't think that. Dr. Pepper didn't think that. Bojangles didn't think that. Want to move some fried chicken? Pick the worst QB there is. It's not really where they go. So, again, everybody was wrong about that. And so when they were wrong, I thought he would be the biggest stat stuffer available. Yeah, wrong. And so Dabo's point is that when they build you up and look, we finished 15th last year. All right, well, you got us predicted this year. Well, maybe that didn't matter either. And he's right about that. Now, I think that this has happened, and I don't mean to be snotty here because anybody, you know, maybe losing an opportunity like Justin Guarini. Do we all know what Justin Guarini does? Do we know who he is? He finished second to Kelly Clarkson in the first season of American Idol. Do you know what he does? He's a little sweet. I am so happy for him getting a paycheck. I'm happy anybody gets their chance. What was the Diet Dr. Pepper character? Was it Larry Culpepper? Not funny. Like, not funny ever even one single time. Not even in a curious way where you kind of look at little sweet, funny. Larry Culpepper, not funny.
It's funnier than Fansville, though. Fansville needs to go away completely go away.
Is that Brian Bosworth as the sheriff?
He is the sheriff of Fansville, yes.
The only intriguing thing from Fansville was last year when they showed the fans sneaking into the portal. I was like, okay, now you throw a little Halloween thing in there. But don't go to the portal. You'll disappear. But Fansville, when Larry Culpepper, again, I don't know who that is, the actor. I thought DJU was getting his money, and I was happy about it. I think those did go away, though, right? There is no more Larry Culpepper, I don't believe. I never found that intriguing in the least. And here's the funny thing. I drink Diet Dr. Pepper almost exclusively. Love it. You throw that really cold, like a 37, even 36-degree fridge, get it really cold. Folks, can't tell the difference, and keep you from being diabetic. What do you got, Dan?
Well, you know, the other thing is, too, is I want to let people in on a little secret when it comes to Diet Dr. Pepper. You know how Coca-Cola at McDonald's, people just say, oh, my gosh, it's just so much better here at McDonald's?
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A, Diet Dr. Pepper. I feel like it just tastes even better at Chick-fil-A. I don't know what it is.
If we'll throw out, you know, just unsolicited plugs here, my wife and I will call it the QT drink, where you can add that little squirt of the cherry in there.
Yeah.
And so you get that mixture perfect. It tastes better. It tastes the same. But when you tell yourself it tastes better, then it really does. It becomes the reality.
Well, I mean, it's Californians growing up on In-N-Out Burger and Texans growing up on Whataburger. I mean, of course, you're going to pick your sides. Speaking of picking sides, you know, it seems like that a lot of people have already picked their sides and have already written off Brian Kelly at LSU. And not to say that this is because social media, for the most part, Twitter is not a real place. I'm told that all the time.
Sure.
But somebody just reaching out at SEC Media Days for me when I just posted a picture of Brian Kelly, and he goes, he'll be out of there in 3 years. Ain't going to work. I wrote him back. I go, what honestly makes you say that? And they couldn't give me a response. And I go, no, I'm serious. What honestly makes you say that he's going to be out there in 3 years? Because I go, are you saying that because you think just because he was at Notre Dame that that's the case? Or are you saying that because you're parroting what somebody else is saying? Because I know the answer, but I just want to hear you say it. They couldn't give me a response because that truly is the case, because this doesn't need to be more evident to you than yesterday's preseason coaches poll from the USA Today that Notre Dame is fifth in the country. That's not because of Marcus Freeman. He's doing a fantastic job right now recruiting and building up that program, but let's call it what it is. Any success that he has this season in large part is going to be from what Brian Kelly built and left behind there in South Bend. And I understand that people are upset about the way that he left the job. I'm actually going to take a line that you said, Chuck, when he left the job. Nobody died. Nobody was even born. He took a job. It happens in football. And the next best thing is what you've got right now. At least that's what Notre Dame fans are telling me, right? And they're telling all of us of, oh, yeah, hey, this was the guy all along. Never mind the fact that the other guy gave us relevance in this program that we hadn't seen in years. And never mind the fact that he put us in the college football playoff twice. He did get us blown out, so I guess that's got to be on him. But this whole just notion that Brian Kelly is not a program developer, is not a player developer, and is not somebody that can win. I'm sorry. I just think that you're just spewing out facts that you think that you want to be able to fit the narrative that you want in your head, when really the fact of the matter is the facts should tell you otherwise.
What if he really did achieve all you could at Notre Dame? And you just said something. I understand you're just trying to be prudent, cover bases, whatever. You're giving the anticipatory response on Twitter. And I know they got blown out in the playoffs, and so that's on him. I'm going to stop. You were just trying to be what if it's not on him? What if making the playoffs is now the ultimate for Notre Dame? What if he literally did achieve what is possible for the Irish program right now? Just getting in the playoffs, because they're not a program. What if there was some metric that we realized 15 years from now? No, when they weren't in a conference and the absence of this, and they would always have to be the four seed. What if? What if he did do everything that it's possible to do for the Irish right now? I don't think it's that far-fetched. All right, wraps it up on a Tuesday. Dan, Dave, good stuff. Chuck, good job. Give myself a hand today. Be back this time tomorrow. More college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.